There you go. Hello, how's everybody doing tonight? All right, so we're going to turn to, if we could, let's see, James 4:17, as we read God's word tonight. If we could stand for God's word, please. All right, so the verse tonight where I'm going to be reading, it's just going to be one, if you could read along with me. James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. All right, so we're going to come back to that, and you may be seated. All right, and every time I get, I know Brother Higer already prayed, so but I would like to pray before we get started too. I always... It's something I've been doing the last few times, and it's always worked for me. And I believe always to ask, God for help before you do anything in his name. All right, dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we're here today, Lord, I ask you, Lord, to give me the words of wisdom. Help me be able to hide behind your cross and preach a message tonight that if anything I learned something from. And Heavenly Father, if there's anybody here tonight, speak to their hearts also that would be able to hear your message. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so as we get started, let me tell a couple jokes to lighten things up a little bit. All right, so, at least it makes me a little bit easier up here. So a father gave a girl $2, all right, and said to the girl, $1 is for you, and then $1 is for the Lord. All right, so she was so excited, she grabbed her dollar, she's all unwrinkling it, she's like so excited looking at the dollar, burning a hole in her pocket, she couldn't wait. She ran with joy to the candy store. And as she was running to the candy store, boom, she tripped, and one of her dollars fell down the storm drain. She got up, dusted herself off, and said, well, Lord, there goes your dollar. Yeah. All right, that's, no, nobody? All right, so this one right here made me laugh, and I like this one too. All right, a story was told of a zoo that noted for their great collection of different animals. One day, the gorilla died. And to keep up appearances, a full range of animals, the zookeeper hired a man wearing a gorilla suit to fill in for the dead animal. At first on the job, the man didn't know how to act like a gorilla very well. He tried to be as convincingly act as convincingly as possible, but he got too close to the wall enclosure and tripped and fell into the lion exhibit. And as he fell into the lion exhibit, he started to scream. He realized his life was over. He's like, ah! Help me, until the lion walked over to him and said, shh, be quiet, you're gonna get us both fired. Nobody? Not even a little bit? All right. Not even a little bit? All right. All right, and I wanted to lighten things up because the message tonight, as we're talking about in James 4:17, therefore, if you knoweth to do good and you doeth it not, to him it is sin. All right, so the message tonight, most of the time when I'm preparing a message, I just ask God to work in my life. Give me something that would be able to change me. And so I'm not up here pointing fingers, but and I just wanted to be able to do a message, if anything, that would work in my life. So there's a lot of chaos nowadays, right? Everything going on with the whole COVID, so much drama, so much dysfunction in the world. Half the people don't even want to turn on the TVs. I mean, even turn on, you watch the news for about 3 or 4 minutes, and you're like, all right, turn that off. There's just nothing good. And it's coming in all directions, right? Does anybody feel like that? Just with the whole COVID thing, it's all new to all of us all around the world. I think the devil's working overtime. You know, he's realizing that his time is coming. And he's realizing that he's got to, confuse and do as much damage as he can before, his time actually comes. But it's only going to get worse in these perilous times that we're living in. These horrible times that we're living in, we can still find joy, we can still find happiness and peace in God, in God's word, in his truth. But a lot of the lost, they don't have this type of hope. They don't have, there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of selfishness, a lot of fear going on. I mean, and you're seeing it in church members, you're seeing it in just around the world, you're seeing it in almost everybody. You go to the grocery store, for not stand, if you're not wearing your mask, I mean, the looks that you get, you know, you got to obey. You got to basically do what everybody's telling you to do. The government's telling you to wear those masks, keep everybody safe. But if you don't do it, you can see the emotion, the hatred, the anger behind people's eyes if you're not doing what you're supposed to do. A few weeks ago, did anybody hear the story of that lady in San Diego? The one in San Diego, she was just so angry. This couple were just eating a picnic in the dog park. And as they were eating in the dog park, all of a sudden this lady runs over. She's like, "You're not wearing your mask. Why aren't you wearing your mask?" She's like, we're trying to eat. You know, it's kind of hard to wear a mask while you're eating. And next thing you know, the lady has pepper spray out and she's spraying the couple, you know, spraying them down. I mean, this is literally the way that the world is, I mean, there's so much hatred. There's so much anger. And we went to Ruby Tuesdays, about 2 or 3 weeks ago to eat with the family. We were all excited because we actually found a place that actually had a salad bar that was open. Has anybody seen any restaurants that are still keeping open with the salad bars? It's very unusual, right? We ended up going all the way out in Deltona to see some family. We're excited because if you're wearing gloves and wearing a mask, you know, you're able to partake. You're able to go into the salad bar. And, I mean, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get those wonderful, wonderful croutons. Has anybody ever had those pumpernickel croutons? Yes. Oh, they're so good. No, but I'm serious. I'm serious. They're that good. So I'll wear a mask. I'll do what I need to do. All right. So as we're eating in the salad bar and the server's coming up to us, she starts telling us her last customer. And that customer was just so angry and was so upset that the Ruby Tuesdays had their salad bar open. They're like, how could they have their salad bar open? This is horrible. You know, you're gonna get somebody killed, you know. And she's like, I'm going to call the health department on you. And the server was, according to her, was polite as possible and said, ma'am, we had to go through the health department in order to keep the salad bar open. Of course, she was so angry about it and wasn't going to listen to anything, the lady decided to stiff the server. It just shows the true evil conditions of people's hearts these days. And everybody's adjusting differently to this COVID. And the things that you have to deal with that you never really had to deal with before the COVID. Like this morning, me and my wife are in the car. And as we're in the car this morning, she's all, we're like, oh, we got to find our mask. We have a bag of those little masks, so they all look the same. And she's like, all right, which one's mine? Which one's yours? I'm like, it's easy. It's easy. Don't worry about it. Yours is the one with the makeup. Mine's the one with the nose hair in it. I'm like, yeah, you know. And then I just found out a few minutes ago, my daughter was like, yeah, Daddy, your mask always smells funny. I'm like, what? I smell funny? She's like, yeah, we can tell the difference. And I'm like, all right, so what do I smell like exactly? Gumballs and weirdness. No, that, she didn't say that, but I just thought. All right, so. And that's just some of the stuff that we have to deal with nowadays. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, and hopefully it's not the new norm, but you hear a lot of people nowadays saying this is the new norm, a lot of stuff we're dealing with. I'm sure each one of us have an equally disturbing story of how people are acting during the pandemic. If you need 144 rolls of toilet paper for a 14-day quarantine, you probably should have seen the doctor way before COVID. I mean, it's a respiratory virus. It's not Chipotle. All right. So, on another note, homicide rates. I mean, if we have been watching the news, it says like the homicide rates are soaring through the cities of America despite the lockdowns. Are we seeing any? Are people acting crazy during this time? Homicide rates are through the roof. Another thing is, and I am also part of this guilty party, but people are buying guns more than ever. Right? If you listen to any talk radio or anything like that, men and women have never owned a gun before because they were too scared to handle one. Now they're too scared not to. It's just the treacherous times we're living in. And if we turn in our Bibles to 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, I mean, it's going to be a familiar passage. I mean, anytime anybody talks about end times, a lot of times we'll flip to this, a lot of these verses in the Bible, and it'll sound very familiar. This know also, and it's 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, if anybody wants to follow along. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boisterous. Did I say that right? Yeah, boisterous. Boisterous, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. Now, this one always gets me. Incontinent, See, in the medical field, that means something a little bit different than what it means in the real world. Incontinent in the Bible is saying uncontrolled, lacking self-esteem. In the medical field, it means you just can't control your bowels. All right, fierce, despisers of all those that are good. I mean, is this sounding familiar? Is it sounding like the world we're living in today? Scary times, right? There's traitors, heady, high-minded lovers of pleasure, more lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof from such that turn away. For this sort, that which creep into the houses and lead captive silly women laden of sins, led away from drivers' lust. That verse is just talking about false teachers who prey heavily on women that are weighed down with sin, that are more susceptible to false teaching. Sin can put you in a vulnerable state. Sin can make you bitter. Sin can make you angry. Sin puts up a wall in front of you and God. And that's why it's important as a Christian that we need to remain pure. A lot of the times people read the Bible up, that doesn't pertain to me, that doesn't pertain to me. That's a little side note. Last verse, 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. People that are in sin, that are openly not, if they're not saved and they're lost, it's going to be hard for them to read God. I mean, they're blind to God's word. The world sees Jesus through us, by us loving the unlovable, showing grace and forgiveness when the world cannot. A lot of Christians are so busy with their own lives, and we are busy, where some of us are working 2 jobs, some of us are just so stressed with what's going on in our lives. When we flip on the news, we're like, all right, you know what? Just flip through that. Oh, my goodness, I don't even want to deal with that. You even tried it. Has anybody even tried? As Christians, should we still be giving the gospel? I mean, it's not a rhetorical question. I mean, we should still be giving the gospel, right? It seems like it's getting harder and harder than it was before. People are getting so angry when you even talk about politics. I mean, you can't even talk to people about politics. It was never like that. I mean, you would... If someone didn't like your point of view, they'd politely be like, look, I really don't believe that way. I don't really think that way. But, I mean, people are getting angry. I mean, angry you talk about God. It's easy to get discouraged. All right? So tonight, what I want to talk about and I want to focus on is just a couple reminders of God's promises. But we are in a spiritual war. Despite, we may not be able to see it, but we are in a spiritual war. We're trying to keep our heads above water. We understand that. But these are troubling times. But again, when I focus on James 4:17, the verse says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. And the reason I keep focusing on that verse is because a lot of us as Christians, if we're saved and we're going to heaven, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. There is, over and over again, we see in the Bible, every bit of it's true. Old Testament, New Testament, it all pertains to us in some way or another, and God can use it to speak to our hearts. But a lot of church members nowadays are becoming stagnant. And stagnant is what, that's the title of my message today, stagnant. And with stagnant, when you think of stagnant water, does anybody want stagnant water laying around their house? No. What does it attract? Mosquitoes, bacteria, all kinds of diseases. When water gets stagnant, it's not active in any way. There's all kinds of potential rotten things like diseases, insects that carry them to begin to be active in that water. This is how, when you find stagnant water around your house, I hate it. I go around mowing the lawn. First thing I'm doing, I'm looking for any type of water that might attract any type of mosquitoes. It's just horrible having that around. Any kind of diseases, stagnant water, just repulsive. Is anybody, no matter how thirsty you are you ever going to pick, you ever feel like picking up that stagnant water and drinking it? No. Is it going to make you sick? Yeah, it's going to make you very, very sick when water starts to stagnate. But there's a similar way many of us as believers believe that we're just neutral. We're not sinning in any explicit way, that we're doing good. Well, we're not realizing that we're neutral. Neutrality leaves our souls in a stagnant position for other things to produce in our lives. So when we're as a Christian and we're sitting around and we're not doing anything for the Lord, I mean, idle hands bring forth, or what? The devil's play, what? What is the verse? Idle hands, or the devil's play thing, or what is it? How's the verse go? All right, but you pretty much standing around and doing nothing for God. If we're sitting here listening to preaching, and we're trying to do whatever, but we're not doing anything for the Lord, we become stagnant. And the Lord wants us, I mean, he commands us to go and do things, and we are in a war. And despite the fact that we win this war in the end, Despite we win, it doesn't really matter. Regardless, we're going to win the war. But a lot of Christians use that as an excuse. You're like, you know what? I don't even want to deal with it. I've got too much in my life right now. I don't want to stand up for certain things that are right. I don't even want to talk to this person. And that person may need some common sense smacked over the back of the head. And for them to realize, I mean, we don't want to physically smack them over the back of the head. But some people need somebody. A lot of these kids that are growing up nowadays, a lot of these teenagers, they're growing up and they don't even know who Jesus is. So a lot of the times they're only following little lemmings falling off the cliff, following everybody else that's doing the exact same thing because that's all they know. A lot of the times they need to hear the truth. What is God's word? It's like a double-edged sword. It's piercing. If they hear the truth, you don't know whether or not, no matter how that person, how you talk to them, how they are going to react to hearing God's word. And God's word never comes back void. All right? So if God is the Lord of our lives, and a loving God, by loving him, we show that we obey his commandments. Then we know all things coming in his hands, coming from his hands, if it's God's will that conditions the course of our lives, in order for God to bring out the best in his children, sometimes he puts scenarios in our life. And those scenarios are there to build strength and to build character. All right, so sometimes we're going through a rough time in your life, and you're like, I have no idea why I'm going through this, and I've heard this over and over again. But sometimes these trials in our life that we go through, and I don't mean to jump around, but there's a valid point. I'll come back to it. But when we have, a lot of times God will put certain scenarios in our life. So by giving the gospel and talking to people about Jesus, that builds character. What in Proverbs, it says, a man who winneth souls is what? Wise, right? So when we talk to other people about Jesus right now that they don't have hope and they don't understand what's going on with the world, and we know because we read the book, and at the end we win. We've heard this before, but a lot of Christians becoming stagnant, they're like, you know what, if I don't do anything, you know what, hopefully God will just rapture us up. We won't be here. But there are still 6 months is a lot of time for us. People not being in church, 6 months is a lot of time, people dying and going to hell. And that doesn't mean we need to give up. But yes, we win, but we do need to be doing stuff while we're still here on earth. All right, so let me give you an example. A lady goes to work out in the gym. She's got everything that she needs to get to that gym. She's got her headband on. She's just ready for that killer workout. She's got all her typical attire. She's got the headband. She's got her wristbands around her wrist, a water bottle by her side. She stepped into a clear area. She's ready for a good workout. This woman looks serious. She looks like she's about to get a serious work on, right? Pump you up. So type serious, right? So she's ready for that workout. All of a sudden, she grabs some dumbbells, picks them up. One, two, one, two. She puts down takes a towel, wipes off her head, exasperated. Whew, that was a good workout. That's enough for me today. This lady looked the part. She truly came to the gym for a workout. At least that's what she looked like. But all she did was that it. Oh, that's enough for me. Many Christians nowadays, they go to church, if they're even coming at all anymore, they're going to church, they look the part, they wear the right clothes, they sing the right songs, they talk the right talk, but building real strength requires real effort and a little bit of sweat. And a lot of the times we're seeing in Christians nowadays, yes, they're coming to church, listening to a message, but they're not using what they're learning. And by not using what they're learning, we need to be out there. There is a spiritual war going on. We need to be giving the gospel. We need to change our tactics. Our tactics need to be changed. It's a war, and our commander-in-chief, Lord and Savior, that's up in the sky, yes. Do you think it's possible for him to protect us against this COVID? Every single one of us in this room, if we're saved, we know 100% sure we're going to heaven. Is there a possibility that God can protect us? And I'm not downplaying in any way because the whole world's dealing it right now. But we are not supposed to live in fear. God figures that we're not going to voluntarily go to a spiritual gym. We're not going to go there. So he brings the gym to us. And that's where these circumstances come into our life. That's when these cross-bearing situations, different scenarios, like the problematic encounters that we deal with everyday life, those are opportunities for Christians to grow, all right? That's when we're going to the gym to work out. These trials that we go in our life are there in our lives to help a Christian to be able to grow. Yes, they're troubling times. Yes, it's scary what we're living in, but remember, we are all ambassadors for Christ. Brother Heiger preached this morning, And he was talking about there's a war going on. Yes, there is a war going on. It's a spiritual war. And later on, in a few more pages, I'm going to talk about in the book of Daniel. If anybody's read Daniel chapter 10, he's fasting for 3 weeks. What happens? What was unveiled? And we're going to find out here in a little bit. And it's actually so interesting. But there is a physical, spiritual war going on above us. And there are things in our lives where we're like, God didn't answer my prayer. I don't understand why God didn't answer my prayer. Well, if you read the book of Daniel, and when we're talking, and Daniel was a devout Christian. He's three times a day, he's praying. People looked at him. They knew he was a Christian. Did you think God answered his prayers? God answered his prayers. But there is a fight going on, and that fight is for souls, all right? And that is why, yes, we're in troubling times that we're living in, but we have to remember that we're ambassadors for Christ. There is a spiritual war going on, but people are still dying and going to hell. There are many different things that we must remember. If we're going to be an approved workman for Jesus Christ, it's easy to forget those major things, and it may be something we get beaten down with every single day. Every time we come to church, we hear it over and over again. But sometimes you hear it so much, it's like, yeah, I know I'm supposed to read my Bible. Yeah, I know I'm supposed to do this. I know I'm supposed to do that. But are we doing it? And even Brother Heiger, he hit that point this morning on the nail. We are told to read our Bible. God's word is the only thing. When he was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days, what was he using scripture to fend off the devil? And what was he using? I gave you the answer. Scripture. All right. So there are so many things that we need to remember, but let's not forget, did God protect his people against the plagues of Egypt? Those 12 plagues, everybody else was affected in Egypt. Were God's people affected? No. Was Noah, when he was in the flood, was he affected? No. God told him to build a boat. There was Josephus, and I've heard this preached before. A Jewish historian said there could have been over 6 billion people on earth. He was giving the gospel for over 100 years. And he was still commanded by the Lord to tell people about God. And yes, he was still doing it for the 100 years. And those people were looking at him like he was crazy, I'm sure, building a boat, never rained before. But yes, he still obeyed God and he protected him against that whole scenario. There's a spiritual war going on. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were told not to kneel. You see all this going on nowadays, everybody's telling to kneel. We don't kneel to anybody else but God as a Christian, and we know that. And they were protected because of that. God forbid, I really hope no one ever would have to be put in a situation like that, but how would you handle that adversity in your life? Daniel was thrown in the lion's den because he was praying. Okay, they knew he was a Christian. They knew how to get him. He was thrown in the lion's den. But how did those Christians, how did they prevail? They prevailed because they were trusting in God. How are you going to handle adversity when it comes your way? If there's unconfessed sin in your life, and you're putting a barrier up between you and God, sometimes, if you're more anxious than you usually are, because you're not as close to God as you used to be, there may be a reason. It may be sin. There could be other reasons behind it. But how's your Bible reading? Yes, I hit that nail. Everybody says it. We need to be reading our Bible. But are you forgetting God's promises because you've recorded over those memories with the garbage and the propaganda of social media and the internet? Have you forgotten the God that we serve, the God of the impossible? Is your relationship with God on a need something basis? All right. When I say that, it says when you pray, you start reading your Bible. You're trying a little bit harder not to commit sin until that prayer gets answered, and then all of a sudden you're going back into the same lifestyle. You cannot play games with God. Who knows? God knows every thought before you even think it, every word before it even comes out of your mouth. He knows every hair on your head. He knows everything about you. You can't play games with God. There's a spiritual war going on, and yes, we win, but we are commanded to get as many on God's side as we can before it's over. Yes, this COVID is an obstacle, but we need to be on our knees asking the commander for different tactics. All right? Our sin, has sin captured you and made you a prisoner of war to make you think that Christ cannot break those chains? May I remind you that the madman of Gadara, he broke through those chains and ran to the Messiah to be freed of the legion of demons. All right, let's talk about the Black Death. Does everybody know in the 1300s, Black Death, the pestilence? You guys all know that, your history? I mean, it's the most I think the one plague that killed the most people ever, like over, I think it was over 2 million people died. All right, so this disease was caused by a, you haven't Brother Jason, you haven't taken micro yet, right? All right, I have you pronounce this for me. The Yersinia pestis bacteria. All right. It began in Mongolia, spread quickly to China. It spread to Europe following the battle between the Mongolians and the Genovese, the army of the Crimean Peninsula. They actually were taking dead bodies and they were catapulting them towards Italy. It appeared to be the first time of any type of biological warfare. All right. This disease spread out the whole world, killing over 25 million Europeans, 35 million Chinese within a decade. As soon as the disease arrived into Europe in 1346, some people started to blame the Jews. And the reason that the Jews were getting blamed is because, and they were thinking, oh, they have to be poisoning our wells. There's something that those evil Jews are doing. I guarantee in that time, this is the mindset people were thinking. All right. So when the disease finally, the fatal nature came clear, mainly in 1348 and 49, it was accepted for the fact that the Jews were to blame. They were blaming the Jews. And the reason, there's a few reasons for this, but the reason a lot of them were blaming the Jews, and the reason that they weren't getting touched by this plague. Millions of people were dying, but God's, the Israelites, the Jews, they were not affected. And the reason they weren't affected is because they were reading their Bibles, and they were following a lot of the laws that were in Leviticus. And it says here that the Jewish laws, they would promote cleanliness. A Jew must wash his hands before eating bread, after using the bathroom. It was customary for Jews to bathe once a week before the Sabbath. A corpse must be washed before burial, and so on. The Jews were obeying God's commandments and following the laws in Leviticus. That's why they weren't dying in the Black Plague. All right? So this is why we need to read our Bible. These are reasons right here. And it's because God, everything that's in this Bible pertains to us. I mean, there's some things, I mean, obviously, Old Testament, New Testament, but for the most part, God can use it all to work on your lives. I say all of this just to remind us that God will protect his children. We cannot live in fear. We need to change our tactics. And I keep saying that over and over again because I'm getting into that there is a spiritual war going on. But if you were not telling people about Jesus before the pandemic, you're not telling people about Jesus now, bottom line. And that needs to change. There's a good chance we need to be in church. We need to stop watching it on TV. And I know a lot of people are going to get hurt about that because there are certain situations, but we need to be fellowshipping with each other. If we're in church and we're talking to another person in church, you find out what they need to be prayed, what certain reasons that they need prayer. You find out certain things that are going on in their life. We're here to uplift each other. We're here to encourage each other through if we're having a rough time, and we're here to pray for each other. In Ephesians 5:16 through 21, it says, "Redeem the time because the days are evil. Therefore, be not unwise, but understanding that the will of the Lord is." And it says, in verse 18, it says, "Be not drunk with wine, where in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart for the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one another in the fear of the Lord." The only thing that we need to be scared of is God. And that type of fear is the fact, if we truly love God, we're going to obey his commandments. But the type of fear is, yes, God can do anything that he wants to us, but God cannot sin, God cannot tell a lie. The world's lifestyle is characterized by moral and spiritual darkness, and it shows. Only the world is going to keep liquor stores open and try to close churches down. That's the world's mentality. We're becoming in times where the days of good and evil, and where good is evil and evil is good. We're in those times. In Hebrews 10:24 through 25, Brother Hiker could probably recite the verse with me because he used it this morning. And it's just a verse that we're using that we need to congregate. We need to assemble. And it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more to see the day approaching. Yes, we need to be in church. By coming to church, we teach our kids that God is important. Jesus went to God's house weekly. In Luke 4:16, he came to Nazareth and where he had been brought up, and it was his custom was in the synagogues on the Sabbath day, he stood up for to read. God went to church he would go to the synagogues weekly. And we read in Luke. Some Christians are using it as an excuse. And there are people out there that have legitimate reasons for not coming to church. And that's understandable. But the thing is, the devil does not want us to assemble because it makes us weaker. Some Christians are using the COVID as an excuse. Some have a good legitimate reasons. But are you praying and asking God to do what he wants you to do? Or are you listening to the media, living in fear, following your flesh, and you've convinced yourself this is the answer? 6 months is a long time not to be in God's house. I hear a lot of people saying this is the new norm. The devil does not want us to assemble because it makes us weaker. When we go to church, we can encourage each other. We can get a better idea on what other people need and what to pray about. It's so important. That spiritual war that's going on. And I'm not going to be too much longer. But I'm going to read in the book of Daniel. And I just want to use the example in chapter 10. And it's a good book anyways. I love the book of Daniel. But there's a spiritual war going on. Where does God rank in your life? Is he a commander in chief? Do you obey his commandments, or do you only obey the ones that you feel like that day? All right, there was an essay that I read online, and it just happened to be something that I was trying to find something for the sermon, and it's just something that I happened to fall on. And this essay is on following orders. And if you're in the military, a lot of the people in this room have been former military. You know, when you're in the military, when you follow orders, it's a lot of those orders are there for what? To keep you safe? And there's a lot of different reasons for following orders, but it says a lot about somebody who can, because when somebody's telling you what to do, a lot of times people's pride, they don't want to have somebody else barking orders at them. But if you're able to follow orders, that says a lot about you. And there's a spiritual war going on. Where does God rank in your life? Is he the commander in chief? Do you obey the commandments, or are they only the ones that you feel like that day? In the military, not following orders can get you killed. Just like in the real life, the Bible says, James 1:15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth what? Death, yes. And every single one of us in the room, we're all sinners, and it's understandable, but we can't be sinless, but we can try to sin less. I found this example of the essay, and every time I'm going to say the word orders, think of the word commandments, okay? Because this is what, as God, when he gives us a commandment, this is an order that we should be following, all right? So a lot of us can use this essay kind of measuring how serious of a Christian we truly are about God. And decipher the ones that are sealed with the Holy Spirit. They're going to heaven, but they're following the flesh from the ones that produce fruit and the ones that ask God to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day because they truly love God and they want to obey his commandments because they love him and they want to follow his orders because they love him. And it says a lot when you're following orders. All right, first of all, following orders, it makes a group strong. Disobeying orders or acting as an independent entity only serves to make a group weak, vulnerable as well. The military thrives when orders are followed because it is only then that the sophisticated battlefield tactics will be implemented successfully. Just like when a Christian is openly sinning, he or she is a better soul winner. If you're living your life and you're trying to do the best for the Lord and you're trying to live a life without sin in it and you're obeying God's commandments, it does make you a better because you don't feel hypocritical. You don't feel that barrier between you and God. And there was a barrier in Adam and Eve when they, as soon as they sinned, what did they do? They tried to hide from God. Just like you, it's like, oh, it's just a little sin. It's not that big a deal. I can watch that. I can listen to that. But if you're doing it over and over again, yes, you are. It is making it harder and harder for you to do the right things for the Lord if you're openly living in sin. As a Christian, we should not openly live in sin. We should try our hardest not to sin. But when you're sinning and you're making up excuses and you're following the flesh, you're not wanting to read your Bible. You're not wanting to go soul winning, all right? You're feeling, and a lot of the times you're feeling like a hypocrite, so you don't want to go to the Lord. You don't want to ask for... So again, we're looking at orders as commandments. A leader is only as strong as his message. Is our leader strong? Yes, we're the God of the impossible. But when you're not following a message, and the group is only as strong as its weakest link, the message is the gospel. Following the leader's orders will always represent a strong bond and respect, not only towards the leader, but also towards the cause. The cause is to rescue a lost and dying world. Secondly, following orders is essential because it helps show that a group is united and focused on the cause. Our cause, sharing the gospel to a lost and dying world. As stated above, a group is only as strong as its weakest link. All right, so if you're a Christian and you're going to heaven, you know you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. We are a body. The church is a body. We are only as strong as our weakest link. And when a soldier decides to disobey an order, he's sending a message that the leader is not as strong as he should be, or the group is not as united as the cause. However, by following orders, one shows that he first all agrees with the superior on the course of action, and he is committed, like the rest of the group, to set the objective. Success is indeed guaranteed if the words of the superior are taken seriously and acted upon. What are our words? The Bible. Jesus is the word. And again, this is an essay. I'm just trying to fit it in, following orders in the military, how it pertains as us as Christians. We are ambassadors for Christ. With us being ambassadors for Christ, God gives us the word, and that word is to be followed. And when it is followed, we do have joy, peace in our life. And that those words, if it's taken seriously and you truly trust God as your Savior and you truly love God, you're going to obey his commandments. You're going to obey his orders. Finally, following orders helps us maintain order in the show that a group is organized. When we ignore orders, there is a bound to be different course of action. Not as many people getting saved when we're not following orders the way that we should. When we're living our lives for our flesh and we're doing things the way that we want to do, there's people that are dying and going to hell. That's forever, which communicates the lack of organization. However, when everyone follows the orders communicated, one can easily tell that there's an organization in a group of respect abounds. What kind of soldier are you? As a Christian, if you love God, you'll obey his commandments. We are in an army. There is a spiritual war going on for souls. And when you disobey a direct order, it shows how serious you take God, how much faith you truly do have. And lastly, I'm going to read the book of Daniel. And this is it. I'm just going to read the book of Daniel. And it's in chapter 10, if anybody wants to follow along with me. Actually, I'm only going to be focusing on verse 12 and 13, but I'm going to kind of paint you a picture of what's going on here. And if everybody's familiar with the book of Daniel, everybody knows the lion's den. This is an 84-year-old Daniel we're taking a picture of in chapter 10. 84-year-old Daniel. He set aside 3 separate weeks to fast and pray. On the banks of the Tigris River, it was about 20 miles from Babylon. As he's on his knees and he's praying, during that he was refraining from anointing with oil, from food, and from wine. All right, and it's not the wine that we're thinking of. It's not the wine of alcohol. Not that I even have to explain that, Brother Heiger. Also, the anointing of oil was usual to guard against the fierce desert sun. In the previous chapter in Daniel, we just found out that the angel Gabriel of Israel, the angel Gabriel told him that Israel still had, Daniel, that there was still another 490 years left that Israel had to suffer. This could be one of the reasons that Daniel was praying. This could be one of the reasons that he was fasting. Around that time was also when Daniel wasn't allowed to return after he was captured. He had a lot of pull, and he was intertwined in the government now. So at this point, there was a lot of reasons why God wasn't letting him return to his homeland. But there could have been a lot of different reasons. Around that time, God was even not allowing him to return home. And even though King Cyrus freed Israel after defeating Nebuchadnezzar, during that 3 weeks, Daniel did not hear anything from God, and which was very unusual, because God was always talking to Daniel. He was constantly hearing back and forth, communicating with God. He was praying 3 times a day. But Daniel was fasting, doing everything possible. He just heard the prophecy from Gabriel in chapter 9, but he wasn't hearing anything from God at this time. And I'm sure he was getting kind of discouraged. But if we read in chapter 10, verse 11 or 12 and 13, it says, "Then said unto me, Fear not, Daniel." And this is an unnamed angel. Some people like to say that it possibly could have been Jesus, but if he has to ask for Michael's help, more than likely, I don't think it was Jesus. So it's an unnamed angel. Finally came to him, and it said, "Fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst thine heart to understand and chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me, 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." We see God was trying to reach Daniel. The angel, unnamed, when the angel finally reaches Daniel, the angel explains God heard Daniel's prayer the moment that he spoke it. But while trying to get the message back to Daniel, there was an ambush, and the angel was held up for 21 days by one of the devil's more powerful demons, the prince of Persia. The battle escalated to the point that the angel had to call Michael, the archangel, for help. See, in this chapter, it's just a veil that was just a picture of what was going on above him. God was trying to get Daniel a message, and as he was trying to get him that message, it was just a glimpse of the spiritual warfare that's going on above us. There's a war, and the devil knows his time is near. But as a Christian, we need to step up our game. All right? I believe that the devil's been working for years, and there's people in politics. I mean, we see here the angel was the prince of Persia. He may have been somehow in the government down there. I mean, the devil. There is a spiritual warfare for souls, and it's been going on since the beginning of time. So the other day, and I'll leave you with this, but we had the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're just knocking on everybody's door. As they knock on everybody's door, they're trying to give everybody from the watchtowers and everything else like that. A lot of the times they can't knock on your door now. So what they were doing was a Jehovah Witness. We had a letter in the mail the other day. It was handwritten, 2 pages. This Jehovah Witness took the time to handwrite 2 pages. It wasn't printed. I could erase it. It was handwritten, and it was claiming how much they care, and it was also with all this false doctrine in the envelope. See, they're getting creative. The devil's always been creative. And the thing is as Christians, we need to change our tactics. It's time for us to stir up that pot. Stop being stagnant. We need to get on our knees. We need to ask God for wisdom to get back into church. Stop feeling sorry for ourselves and start telling people about Jesus, giving hope to the lost in a dying world. People are scared right now, especially the ones that have no hope, the ones that don't have Jesus. As a Christian, we're not supposed to be living in fear, but we need to be praying and asking him to help us find creative ways like this to reach a lost and dying world. Get the sin out of our lives so we can be more effective for God and for the cause of Christ. We need to be reading our Bible daily. And lastly, we need to be asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit daily so God's will can be done. All right, bow our heads. We're going to pray.